Good morning. This is the KFFR CoronaCast. I'm Steve Skinner. On the line with me this morning, I'm very grateful. I've got Sheriff Glenn Traynor from the Winter Park Fraser Police Department on this morning. Good morning. How are you this morning, Chief?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, this was prompted by there's a new Facebook group that's based around the current demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations happening out in front of Safeway in Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
And
you bet.
I'll just start with one really nice thing. Angela Reeves says, not a question, but I'd like to let him know how thankful we are that the police have supported our protest. So that's a nice place to start, huh?
Oh, that's great.
And are you officially supportive of the protest, or what's the official stance on the demonstration?
I think the official stance we would take is that we are always supportive of our citizens exercising their constitutional rights, no matter what avenue that takes, and especially, with this group of people who have been incredibly respectful of traffic and law enforcement. And, and the truth is these are people who we interact with on a regular basis. They're members of our community. And, and several of them have actually commented that this isn't about our local law enforcement officers. This is about a national issue that has come to the light. And so, we really do appreciate our relationship with our community and want to support these people as they exercise their constitutional rights.
I appreciate that, and I concur. That's basically the feedback I've heard as well, is that local police are not the issue. This is a much broader issue dealing with discrimination and racism and those kinds of things. Robin asks, do you have a policy for de-escalation and limits of force on the Winter Park Fraser Department?
Oh, yep, absolutely. We have a policy about de-escalation, and that's just by our culture. That's always the first path we take, is to try and de-escalate things, because I think just, number one, it's about integrity and character of our officers. But, if you have an officer out there who doesn't de-escalate and seek to defuse situations, then that officer can become part of the problem as opposed to part of the solution in our desire to maintain peace and order in our community.
And Robin continues to just say that, would you consider a resolution that protects whistleblowers who report unlawful action within the police force?
I would have to look at the specific language of that, but, the truth is that we have a very strict policy about making complaints against law enforcement officers, and on a personal level, I would absolutely not ever tolerate any kind of retribution or anything like that against somebody who has made a complaint against a law enforcement officer of any kind, regardless of whatever agency they work for.
And going back to these peaceful demonstrations that have started here, yesterday seemed like it's the biggest crowd, probably about 100 people, maybe 50 to 75.
Okay.
What is your response? Do you have a presence there, or is it just, I was there the other night and I saw the Winter Park police drive by a couple times, but there's not an officer on the ground. Are you considering putting someone in there either as a supporting or a protective force?
We're maintaining a close presence, and last night actually we were quite busy when this was going on. We had other calls for service, but one of the things, and I know law enforcement leaders across the United States have actually participated in these, but one of the things we, by policy, have to be very careful of is that we appear to be neutral in whatever we do, and we have to take into consideration the feelings of everybody in the community, and no different than our law enforcement officers can't use their official titles to endorse a political candidate or a business or something like that. We have to really be very careful about providing endorsements to private citizens in whatever avenue they take. And I hope people understand that it's not about how we feel as people. It's about who and how we represent our communities.
Sheriff Traynor, the chief of police in Denver, actually took a knee with protesters in Denver to show solidarity. So what do you? How do you react to that?
You know, I think that was something that he chose to do. I actually know Chief Payson, and he is a wonderful individual. I think he really wants to do the right thing in effecting change in his community, and so I wholeheartedly support his efforts in what he is doing. But that is a choice we have not made to do. And once again, it's not about how we feel on a personal level. It's about who we represent and maintaining that air of neutrality, in dealing with our citizens.
Sheriff Glenn Traynor, I was out at the protest or demonstration a couple nights ago, and it's overall very, very peaceful. People are really calm, mostly supportive. People driving by, some people just stare straight ahead. And then there's a very, very few people who are angry at seeing these demonstrations, and some to the point of doing what I call coal rolling. I witnessed it. I taped it. Somebody came by with the intent of toxifying the air that these kids and wives and family members and brothers and sisters were breathing. And if there was an officer on site, I think that officer would have said, "That's wrong. I'm going to go pull that guy over."
Okay. All right. And I think had we been notified of that, we certainly would have responded to that. And so far, the organizers of this have not requested our personal presence to guard them, or that kind of thing. And of course, one of my biggest concerns all along has been the safety of the protesters, because, we owe them that much. And, and we've had some great conversations about, trying to avoid traffic conflicts and that kind of thing. But, if that is something the organizers of this would request, we would be happy to speak with them about. But that is not a request we've received.
Okay. I'm just curious. I'm new to the community, relatively new to the community, and I have never seen anyone demonstrating in the Grand County. Have you?
I think on the National Women's March Day, we've had some folks walking up and down Main Street carrying signs and that, but we have not ever, to my knowledge, had any protests of like what we're seeing in the last few days.
Excellent. Thank you. On a local topic, Keith asks, why do officers park in almost hidden areas to monitor speed and issue tickets? Wouldn't it be more beneficial to have the vehicle visible so that people would see it and be aware? Don't we all check our speed when we see a police vehicle? On another note, for the positive, my business had a theft in March. Police department has been great with follow-up communications, et cetera. Well done. What do you say about the hidden vehicles?
Without knowing specific situations and where this happened and when it happened, I really can't do that. But my observations are is that, because we're all about generating voluntary compliance with the law, and if you're hiding just trying to catch somebody, you're not doing that. And my attitude is that the more visible we can be, the better off we are. I don't know that specific incident that he was referring to, but I think as a general practice, we do try and be visible. And, I think anybody who lives here would understand that speeding vehicles are an issue all throughout Grand County. And so we do try and be visible to generate that voluntary compliance with the law and then hold those people who choose to exceed the speed limit by a wide amount accountable for their actions.
I understand. And in fairness to Keith, I don't think he's talking about a specific incident. I think he's speaking generally. And, sometimes I've seen the police officers tucked in pretty good, and when you don't see them till the last second, it's just
sure.
The way it is, and I understand. But tell us about the roads in general. What's the most dangerous thing for people driving out there? Is it other drivers? Is it wildlife? Is it ice and snow? Is it the medians in Fraser? What are the biggest causes of incidences for you guys?
You know, I think, and it really depends on the time of year, but I think anybody who, and I've lived in Grand County for almost 30 years now, but, you know, I think at certain times of the year, and of course, winter seems to be even worse with the ice and snow, just the sheer volume of traffic can be hazardous by itself. And then if you add on that people who think that even though they're in a line of 20 cars, they have to be the next person in line and are pushing the envelope to try and get somewhere quicker, or distracted driving is a huge issue. I mean, you just wouldn't believe the number of complaints that our dispatch center gets every single day about people who are, you know, making bad passes or swerving over the center line or following too closely. So, you know, distracted driving combined with road conditions, traffic volume, and then the condition of our highways all contribute to, you know, a perception that our highways are not that safe.
Anecdotally, I did a very big, long road trip in November of last year, and I drive around a lot here, and I'm very observant, I guess, but I notice quite a few people are texting and driving, and I've seen it. I've actually seen police do it. I've seen gas delivery truck drivers doing it. I've seen soccer moms doing it. You're cleaning up a lot of those messes out there. What do you have to say to people who cannot resist the ping of their telephone while they're driving?
Well, I think that, you know, if you look at some of the studies that have been done, I mean, you know, looking away from the road for a second and a half, all kinds of bad things can happen during that time. And, you know, you mentioned wildlife earlier. You know, this is a time of year when wildlife is out and moving about. And you know, it only takes a second for something bad to happen, you know, like a moose come out in front of you or the person in front of you hitting their brakes. And we just can't afford to do that and keep our roadways safe.
Yeah, I saw an accident last night on my way home from Granby to Winter Park. There was a moose, I believe it was a moose off the side of the road, and
it was
a Subaru. Yeah. Was that an injury accident?
You know what? I don't believe it was, but nevertheless, it was in a very tough area at the bottom of Red Dirt there where there's a big curve. I passed it on my way home last night, and of course, wildlife does what they do, and sometimes they just step out into the highway and you don't have time to react, but wildlife vehicle interactions are a big issue in Grant County.
I was hoping to see a moose this summer, but that's not the way I want to see that moose.
Exactly.
What is the most dangerous stretch of road that you see the most accidents on? I live at Grandma Miller, so that intersection has been very fraught with accidents. And I know that you mentioned Red Dirt Hill. What is the most dangerous place to drive in Grant County?
Well, I think you have to look at that over time. And of course, I'm only responsible for Fraser and Winter Park, but as far as fatal accidents go, last year Red Dirt was probably the highest number of fatal accidents that we had in the county. Highway 9 over by Crumling has at times had several fatalities, but I believe with the highway improvements they made over there, that has been reduced. But a lot of times it's a combination of things, and I'm actually very proud to say that we have not had a fatal accident in the town of Winter Park in several years. So we're very proud of that, and we actually do have a fairly proactive traffic enforcement program here just to keep people's speeds down.
Talking to Winter Park Fraser Police Chief Glenn Trainer, Sharon wants to know, is it true that police receive a bounty bonus for DUI arrests?
No, that's absolutely not true. DUI enforcement is a high priority for us. I don't think anybody out there would think that it's okay for people who are driving under the influence of any substance to be out on the roadways. But, you know, the truth is I believe the average blood alcohol level of people who are arrested for DUI in Grant County is almost double the legal limit. And so The traffic safety experts would tell you that we're probably being reactive to DUI enforcement as opposed to proactive, but our officers do not have a bounty for that. They receive a standard salary whether they make any arrests or not, and that's the way it should be.
Sheriff Traynor, Janet wants to know, do you have an active policy to trying to recruit people of color to serve on the force?
Well, to say we have an active policy is probably a little bit misleading, but we are open to all applicants. And as law enforcement is nationwide, right now there is a tremendous vacuum in the number of people who actually want to be law enforcement officers in this country. And so, we happily would accept any qualified applicant who is willing to work for us and become a member of our community.
I'm curious. I come from the Aspen area, the Roaring Fork Valley, and it's another resort community. They have to deal with everything from presidential visits to Saudi princes and all kinds of things. It's a little bit different here. We don't have quite as high a celebrity count, but we do have a lot of big events. What kind of special training for a rural force do you have to deal with, considering the fluctuations in visitors?
Well, I think the biggest thing we deal with is that the relationship we have with not only our residents but our visitors is of paramount importance to us. And so, from the recruiting process on through training and throughout an officer's career, we really emphasize ambassadorship as part of one of our core values. And what that means is that our officers really have a strong desire to serve the community in a way that's probably at a higher level than you would see in more urban areas. As an example, a family of four who has traveled here from Michigan for a ski vacation, if their car gets in an accident or breaks down in the middle of the night, a lot of times law enforcement are the only people out there who can take care of them. And so it is not uncommon at all for us to be, looking to arrange for lodging or transporting people to their hotel room or that kind of thing. And that's just the way it's got to be because, unlike in more urban areas, a lot of times law enforcement officers are going to be the only interaction that our visitors may have when they come to Grand County. And so we have to be able to, as a whole, and I'm talking about all of our agencies, put that best face forward and leave people with the most positive impression of Grand County that we can.
I'm curious, another issue that comes up with law enforcement in Pitkin County and Aspen is that recruiting locals to be on the force becomes a challenge as housing, things like that become more and more challenging. Do you have to find yourself recruiting officers from further afield?
We do. I feel very blessed that we have some wonderful officers working here who actually grew up in Grand County or who have been long-term residents of Grand County. But, as you probably saw in the Roaring Fork Valley, it takes a special person who wants to live in Grand County and, live through the winters and that kind of thing. And to have somebody who has the character necessary to work for our police department, we're not on the same level of excitement and all those kind of things that happen, along the front range with a larger agency. There aren't near as many opportunities for advancement or specialization. But nevertheless, I think working in, the Fraser Valley or all of Grand County as a law enforcement officer, you have truly the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives every single day. And I just see over and over again, people that we interact with, weeks, months later are saying, hey, you know what? I dealt with this cop on this day. He stopped me for speeding. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate his professionalism and how he appeared to care. And that's what we're all about because we really do want to make a difference in people's lives.
And again, most of the feedback that I've seen has been extremely positive towards local law enforcement. So I want to make sure that's really clear. In the light of the COVID-19 pandemic, how have you reacted to that? And is your job gotten easier because there's less people out there, or is it more challenging because maybe you've got budget cuts or funding shortfalls, or what's happened since COVID-19 busted out?
Well, I think one of the most difficult thing is that we lost our tourism base, you know, almost overnight with that. And so, you know, and with people basically being told to stay at home, our restaurants and businesses being closed, is our opportunity to interact with people on a daily basis, talk to them, you know, was severely limited. And that affected every single one of us on a personal basis because, you know, I think that you wouldn't be a police officer if you didn't enjoy meeting and talking to people and interacting with them. So, you know, to that end, you know, we had to be very careful. And, you know, and of course there were limitations that came down from, you know, the state Supreme Court and, you know, our own courts in who could actually be taken to jail and kept in jail. And, you know, the amount of personal protection that we had to wear as officers when we meet with people. And, you know, I think everybody out there would understand that when you're wearing a mask, you know, covering your face or whatever, it really cuts down on that nonverbal language and the way you communicate with people and, you know, your ability to interact with them on a personal level.
I can totally relate. I was out there at the demonstration a couple nights ago, and I was just tape recording people's feelings, and I kept coming back to the same people because I didn't realize that I'd already talked to them. They look completely different. It's very bizarre.
Yes.
Chief Trainer, is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else you'd like to say to the community?
No, I just think, you know, that like the majority of the people in the community, and especially those people who are protesting, is that, you know, to a person, every member of the Fraser Winter Park Police Department, and I believe every member of honest member of law enforcement, you know, was horrified to see what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd. And I would just ask our community to not paint law enforcement as a whole with the same paintbrush that they used to judge, you know, the individuals who were responsible for those horrific acts. And because, you know, to a person, every single person on our department cares deeply about our community. And I think that the sanctity of life is of utmost importance to members of our organization. And whether these people are victims, the general public, law enforcement officers, or even criminal suspects, all lives matter to us a tremendous amount. And our desire is to affect change in the community and keep the community safe.
Winter Park Fraser Police Chief Glenn Trainer, thank you so much for spending time with us on KFFR this morning.
No problem at all, and thank you for having me on. I'd be glad to speak with you anytime.
All right. Have a great day, and good luck out there.